in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive with faith and meekness in our hearts the revelation of the written word. The lordship of the word reigns in this service. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we're edified. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to look at the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Spirit. And looking at it from the Word, the power, what's the power of the Holy Spirit? And our focus really will be on responding in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's really the focus. But that will lay some foundation, responding in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you know, in the services, the first service, what are we teaching again? Our confession, right? Is that it? The second service? Huh? A new creation. Is that it? The third? Healing in redemption. Okay. So, one of them is going to be related to this. You find out. Matthew's Gospel 28 and... Okay, yeah, come on. Matthew chapter 20 and... I told you now. You open to two openings. Maybe by next month, three openings. Matthew's Gospel 28. Right. The power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Or Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Mark's Gospel 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils or demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they drink angelic, and shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick now shall recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, them is italicized, and confirming the word with signs following. Now, of course, we want to combine the two accounts. In the Matthew's account, he says, go and make disciples, which is the word mathetuo, in the Greek, M-A-T-H-E-T-U, which implies to train people for a task, or to make apprentices, to have people work as apprentices, or interns, as some of us now call it. And it involves teaching and training, because as verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always. So let's look at the word teaching them, which is the Greek word didasko, that informs to educate and instruct. And it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, we're going to look at the things that Jesus commanded. Because we've said that the word commanded there, entolomai, where you have the word entole, is derived from where you have the commandments of the Old Testament. That already confers the status of divinity, or being God, or recognizes, that's the right word, Jesus, by that statement, that I have commanded you. Now, what did the Old Testament say? The Lord God commanded you, but he says that I have commanded you. So we're going to see the things that he commanded. We're looking at the power of the Holy Spirit, don't forget. The things that he commanded. We're to observe the things that he commanded them. Now in Mark's Gospel, which is really the focus here, and then... So, now the word, go and preach the Gospel. Now no doubt, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, whenever you hear signs and wonders and miracles, it has to do with a mission. When God sends someone on a mission. So which is miracles and signs and wonders are not meant for decorations, they're not meant for personal fulfillment. They're never for personal fulfillment. Miracles, signs and wonders are not for personal fulfillment. Signs are meant to say. Now, he says, go and preach the gospel, which is the word euangelion. E-U-A-G-G-G-E-L-I-O-N. Euangelion, where you have to, we said it on Sunday. Like I said, I'm taking it from Sunday, so you're going to have some backup notes from Sunday for service. That the euangelion, which is to the word gospel, and we found out that it's found in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 52 and verse 7, where he says, how beautiful are the feet, or the feet of him that brings the glad tidings of good things, and says to Zion, thy God reigneth. Isaiah 52 verse 7, Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon because has anointed me to preach the gospel. And we said that that gospel, which is a news of deliverance and exodus, a news of deliverance, exodus, and redemption, we now said on Sunday that you discover that just like a Bible teacher should do, Bible translators decided to find out in their world words that address or are synonymous with words used in the Jewish scriptures. We'll see all that later on. So we said that a gospel in Paul's world, which is the Roman world, Greco-Roman world, is when a king, it has to do with a king has acquired a territory. So when they come to announce a new territory, a new exploit, or a new conquest, that announcement is called the euangelion. Now, listen carefully now. Usually, the person coming to bear the news was present, and it was part of the conquest. So that's why the word has to do with a messenger of good news. A messenger of good things. The word agelos. We said all that on Sunday. So there's a messenger involved who was part of it. So we said on Sunday that primarily the messenger of the good things is Jesus. Isaiah 52 verse 7 says him, and he is that servant. By the time you get to chapter 53 verse 1, who has believed our report, in whom is the hand of the Lord revealed. Alright? Then he said, he shall grow up before him, he bore. So you find the personal pronoun in chapter 53, which means that he is the gospeler. Jesus himself is the gospeler. And that's much of what we said on Sunday. Jesus himself is the gospeler. He's the one who carries it. Because we said that the verb of that word, remember, with the word euangelizo, a servant who bears good things. And Jesus is that servant, servant king, servant God. So he says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20, Mark 16, 15, we have something similar. Every creature, every nation. But let's focus on tonight's emphasis. I've known that we're discussing the gospel. So the background is always the gospel. Learn to stick to context so that you are not found saying the wrong thing. Learn to stick to context. Learn to stay within the context of a conversation. So the reason for verse 20, which is our focus, is verse 15. And we said on Sunday, the reason for verse 15 is verse 14. And the reason for verse 14, we said, is that there is a numbers experience, a Kadesh Barnea experience, as it were, or a 40 years experience, where he says he rebuked them for, or he upbraided them, or in a diesel, for their hardness of heart, sclerocardian, which is a word you'll find again in Mark 10:5 and Matthew 19:8, that speaks of the children of Israel in the 40 years in the wilderness. Of course, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, and 9, I tested and proved them for 40 years in the wilderness. The miracles, the signs and the wonders. So Jesus located the hardness of the heart in them, just like the numbers people. So we said that all, just to see the background. So it says, Now, in verse 20 of Mark 16, which is the form, the context, or let me say the subject of today, it says, and they went forth everywhere. Notice the motion. They went forth everywhere. They. Now, in Isaiah 52 verse 7, this is my Sunday sermon though, but Isaiah 52 verse 7, you have that it's the Messiah that goes everywhere. But he says here, they went forth. So, if you notice our earlier studies, we said that a seed will sudden, it can account for generation, right? Psalm 22 verse 30. And we said the word seed is used for individuals and also can be for a nation. So Jesus stands there for a nation. He went forth everywhere, preaching the word, which is logos, and the Lord walking with. So you put that together in Matthew 28:20. I am with you, the Lord walking with. So he's not talking about the Lord just put his signature. You know, I can sign on something, and then you take it somewhere and say, this is to represent me. Mm-mm. That's not the word in here. The Lord walking with, Matthew 28:20, no, I am with you. You know, there's a way, guys, don't worry. I have, in the Old Testament, say, I've gone before you. Right? No. Lord walking with. Okay? I am with you. That's the word there. And of course, 19 says, they saw Jesus live in heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. Now, right hand of God is not the right part of God. It simply means he sat down in what God is doing amongst men, in the display of God's authority and dominion in the earth. So to sit down means that Jesus forever lives in what God has forever done amongst men. This is just to summarize things we've learned before now. So let's zero in on today. And the Lord walking with, is the word sunergeo, S-U-N-E-R-G-E-O. By now, you should know why we refer to Greek words, right? Huh? Yeah, you should know. Sunergeo, which is, now I'm going to give you, just show you something. I was going to say this on Sunday, but I don't know why. I just feel let's talk about it. Hebrews 9. Now, I did this because I know a couple of translations. I don't want to sing. You know, just translations. That's what I want to say. Verse 27. 26. For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world, and not once in the end of the world hath he, pay attention to something now, appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now look at how the King James really, like, okay, Jesus suffered since the foundation of the world. He suffered in Genesis, that you will find him there. Then he says, now once in the end of the world, so that's something like the future, the rapture, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. But now let me just mention something to you. The word end of the world there means full cycle of an age. That is, something has come full cycle. In fact, some versions will say the meeting of the ages. Was it W. Kenyon that let me see that? The meeting of the ages. So it's not talking about the end of the world. No, it's talking about time. That just like Paul says, the fullness of time. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Now, he now says in verse 27, it's appointed to man once to die, and after that judgment again, used at funerals wrongly, then 28 is my focus. Christ once suffered to bear sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin. Now the word appear, there are two meanings in the Greek. And this one seemed to disregard the tense or the tenses. to appear, one says, to be seen of them who look for him. So what he's saying is that if a man looks for salvation, he will see it in Jesus. He's not saying that Jesus will now appear at the end of the world and take the sins away. No. I believe in the coming of Jesus. I do. Not the coming of Jesus from heaven like people teach. The Bible doesn't teach that. Not the coming of Jesus who leaves the earth and comes back to take his people away. The Bible doesn't teach that either. Many texts that people use for that are misread. I believe in the coming of Jesus. I do. I do believe in the rapture, but not the right kind of rapture I see in some places. 1-2. Yeah. I do believe that. Strongly because it's in scripture. But this is not what the text refers to. This text basically is saying Jesus will be seen to those who look for him, to that he is to put away sin by his sacrifice. That's what he's talking about. Now, I would look at this word for you more on Sunday, but I just wanted to see that sometimes the word appears like like he's going to show himself and then take people away, stuff like that. No. It's in line with what he has said before. So many times it's good to look at not just the words, again, the words within the context, how they're used, and so you get a hold of what the author is saying. So in that Mark 16, I said the Lord walking with there, Sunekio, is not... Now, take note of the fact that this is an adumbration. What I mean by that? By all scholastic understanding, this is written by a third party that is not Mark. But the account here is correct because it can be corroborated. That's just like Joshua wrote the end, the closing pages of Deuteronomy. In all literature and artistic license, that's accepted. If he's a disciple, if it can be corroborated, then it will be in the signature of the original writer. So Mark is just like that. And there's something else he adds here that I'm going to talk about on next week, but I will say today. Just to show you the signature of Peter in what he says. This is a Peter's account given by Peter's disciple, and obviously rounded off by another disciple. Now, he says the Lord walking with them, which is italicized. So he said the word walking with, sunagio, will be our focus. Two words in there. I told you when you have the word son, it means with, S-U-N. Then the word energio that has to do with active power. Active power. So the Lord walking with them, alright, walking with them. Now let's see the shades of that word. Sometimes the author may use a word that has shades of meanings, not contrary meanings, so that you can have, you know, for example, when I use agape. Agape is used for sacrifice, preference, honor. Sacrifice, preference, honor, selflessness, or something that you do with sacrifice. Yes, preference to yourself. So sometimes a word can have that. And now, oftentimes, again, the writer might insist on a shade of that word in a context, and in another context, he wants all the shades of that word used. Now, in Mark 16, this writer wants you to see all the shades available. Now, how do I know? Pay attention. Confirming the word. Confirming the word. That is the logos of the Old Testament. Now, by that, it shows you a multiple dimension of that word. The first time you see the word sunagio after now is in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. Walk together for good. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So, sunagio is used for a common goal. A common goal. Lord working with and confirming the word. A common goal. So, which means the Lord is fulfilling the goal of the gospel. The second time you're going to see it is in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 16. So, synergios used for a common goal. A common goal. 1 Corinthians 16 and then verse 16. That you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helps with us and labors. So, helping the work. In other words, helping what is intended to do. There's 2 Corinthians 6:1. 2 Corinthians 6:1. We work as together with him. With him is italicized. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. So that's helping with the work. James 2:22. Faith without works, showing you fruit, that is, producing the fruit. Faith, how faith wrought with his works. Wrought there, with his works, produces, or works together with the works, same thing. So, you have one common goal, helping with, then also producing the fruit expected. So, look at all the shades of that. Now, some well authoritative Greek texts define the word here, which I intend for us to explore very well, as an imperishable word. The Greek of this word, imperishable word, has to do with immortal. What is immortal? In other words, you look back and look at the Old Testament words, text, and you see, what is that eternal promise of God? What is that imperishable command of God, which we call the New Covenant? And you see that same word in 1 Peter 1, 4 and 23, incorruptible seed of the word, 1 Peter 1, and that shows you, this is a Peter, it's a Peter account. 1 Peter 1:23, incorruptible word, incorruptible. 1 Peter 1:4, I skipped that. Or incorruptible again is used. 1 Peter 3:4. 1 Peter 3:4, which is not corruptible. Then you find Paul in Romans 1:23. So the message he's referring to here is an incorruptible, eternal message for Romans 1:23. So he's not talking about traditions or symbols. Romans 1:23, incorruptible God. That's God's been referred to there. 1 Corinthians 15:52, Paul talking about the resurrection. Pay attention to me out there. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. Then 1 Timothy 1:17. So which means that the message he's referring to here is who? What? The resurrection of Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:17. Invisible, immortal God. So it's used for the resurrection. So which means that the essence of the signs is to prove that Jesus Christ is alive. So when he says in verse 19, the Lord went to heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Then he says the Lord walking with. So the right hand of God simply means Jesus Christ is alive amongst us. So he's saying to us that the signs are signs of his resurrection. That he is alive. So the Lord walking with shows you the Lord is alive. So the Lord is alive. We preach the Lord is alive because the Lord is alive. And the Lord being alive because we preach the Lord is alive shows that he's alive. We preach the Lord is alive because he's alive. Mark 16:19. And the Lord is alive proving that he's alive. Mark 16:20. Let me see if you understand that now. Is it making sense? We preach the Lord is alive, the eternal, imperishable message. And then the Lord gives a sign that he's alive because he's alive. So which means that the signs referred to here are the signs of the resurrection of Jesus. That Jesus Christ is alive. And is not alive in another planet, is alive right now, here. Lo, I am with you always, Matthew 28:20. So we are not likely going to see him as I see you. Not like I see you. So I'm not going to see you as I see you. One of the reasons it's not difficult because we said that the status of the message is imperishable. In a state that cannot be depleted or cannot change. So that means it's not going to be by sight. Imperishable, eternal. So we have to find out how is the Lord working with. Because I need to know how. Don't forget our context. The subject, sorry, is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. So we said that the message is the message of the risen Christ. Hence the word imperishable word. So let's see a few connecting phrases. So let's say explanatory terms. Matthew 20:20. Lo, I am with you. 1, 2. Luke 24:49. Luke 24:49. 47 says, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning at Jerusalem. Then it says in 48, you are witnesses of these things. Then it says in 49, now pay attention there. Notice Matthew 28:20, to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. Then it says in Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, the word upon you, which you have a connecting phrase there, epi, refers to what people will see on your surface. They will see around you or through you. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem, now, look at it, 49, till you be what? Endued with power from on high. Till you be endued with power from on high. Now, on high there will refer to the fact that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God, which is in Luke 24, verse 50. And 51 is seated at the right hand of God, carried into heaven, verse 51. Now, of course, the right hand of God is in that Acts, sorry, the Mark 16:19. So you behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Then John 20:21. He came and said, peace unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. Look at that. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. Then he says, he breathed on and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins that you retain are retained unto them. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come on you. So we have power of the Holy Ghost, Acts 1:8. We have Luke 24:49, and you with power from on high. And John 20:22, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:20, lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So we therefore submit to us that the power of the Holy Ghost is the proof of the gospel that we believe. The power of the Holy Ghost is given to give proofs to the gospel that we believe. Now the word signs, Mark 16:20, Semeion, S-E-M-I-O-N, S-E-M-E-I-O-N, it's a flag, a pointer, an indicator. We looked at that on Sunday. We'll probably look at it again next week. A sign, an indicator. Now, don't forget, the indicator is an indicator that Jesus Christ is alive. That Jesus Christ is alive. So we do not preach a religion of mere conformities and do's and don'ts. We preach a religion, I'm going to use the word religion deliberately, that is built in the power of the Holy Spirit. That even the concept of people's sins forgiven when we preach and believing is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's invested in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so, it says we have signs. Mark 16. Power of the Holy Spirit. And so we see something that is pervading the book of Acts. Paul, when he saw those folks in Ephesus, he asked them a question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, we can comfortably say, have you received the power of the Holy Ghost? Right? Since you believed. Acts 19:2. We have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. How then were you baptized? So to John's baptism, he said, John verily baptized. Baptism of repentance, said to the people they should believe in Jesus. Come after him, preach. And then, which is Jesus. Then they heard those things. The Bible says that, the book of Acts says that they were baptizing in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And then he laid hands on them. Then it says the Holy Ghost came on them. So which means that the power of the Holy Ghost has visible things. The Holy Ghost, or let's say the power of the Holy Ghost came on them. Hallelujah. Now, of course, also in Acts 10, as Peter yet spoke, now we know that Peter must have preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. How do you know? Not difficult. I've told you oftentimes that most of those writings are meant to be summaries. 1, 2. You are not supposed to have read Acts 10 without reading Acts 1 to Acts 9. So if you had gotten to Acts 1, you had seen when Peter says the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is from the resurrection of Jesus, Acts 2, verse 38 and 39, you would have noticed that, you know, he mentioned the gift of the Holy Ghost. The background of that was that in Acts 2, 1 to 4, people saw them speak with tongues in 4 and also prophesy. So that means there's something visible about it. Then if you read Acts 8, you also notice that in Samaria, when Peter also was preaching, or when after Stephen had preached, Peter and John went to Samaria, Acts 8:14. And they heard that Samaria received the word of God, and then they went that they might pray for them, they might receive the Holy Ghost, Acts 8:15. There was a man, Simon the sorcerer, who saw that through the laying on hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given. So that means there's something visible that you are going to see. So the power of the Holy Ghost produces visible results. Look, a sign is visible. What did I say? Come on, say it again. A sign is visible because it's supposed to be a sign. If someone is alive, then we have to see the sign. Sign is visible. So, now, definitely, the idea is to see or hear or experience something that is visible. Now, I was going to say something earlier. That, why do you think new converts were ministered to that way? Which means, every believer ought to be introduced to the power of the Holy Ghost. Every believer. Every believer ought to be introduced to the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus gave the instruction. He says, see to it and teach them that they should observe what things soever that I commanded you. And what did he command? You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come on you. Acts 1:8. What did he command? Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Luke 24:49. What did he command? John 20:22. Receive ye the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I have an amen there? So we are taught to observe that commandment. The power of the Holy Ghost. So go back to Mark 16. Let's see these signs, Mark says, going to all world, preaching the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he that believes and is damned. This sign, someone says signs. Say it again, signs. Which is visible, something visible shall follow them that believe. Now, I make sure I look at the word follow there. The word follow there is something that is devoted to you, something that can be seen with you. We'll explore that later on. It's something we're going to go into details with. Except number one, they will cast out demons. Hallelujah. So let's list it. Let's list the visible signs. One, they will cast out what? Demons, right? Praise God. Praise God. Say, I have the power of the Holy Ghost. I cast out demons. Say again, I cast out demons. So the first thing is, you cast out demons. Demons. Praise God. Second thing, they will speak with new tongues. Some of us just selected that one. They will speak with new tongues. Thirdly, he says they will take up serpents. Now, serpents refer to the work of the devil. Glory to God. To take up serpents there, now let me use today's language. It means to push back the works of the devil. To push back. If you look at Luke 10:19, say, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So where do we have serpent? Genesis 3, the devil. Genesis 3 verse 1. 3:15, the devil, the serpent, seed of the serpent. Numbers 21, when children of Israel were bitten by serpents, you also found out that, you know, a brazen serpent, which means Jesus was raised over the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by enemies hurt you. In Matthew 10:16, he says, I send you as sheep among wolves. Be as gentle as those, for they are as wise as serpents. Subtlety. So one of the signs is that we have a massive pushback against the things the devil does. We're not supposed to just have an intellectual understanding that it is the devil that is doing it. That's fine to admit that, because you know that in the word. But then we have an instruction to push it back. Praise God. You shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Praise God. You know, I told you on Sunday, and I'm going to explore it a lot. Now, that series on Sunday, the third service, I intend to teach it throughout the month of January into February. Because we want to explore something important about divine healing. Amen? Alright, good. Now, listen carefully so we'll get it. Now, there are several texts in the Old Testament and even in the epistles that deal with healing used as a word of salvation, restoration, and redemption. So hear what I'm about to say. They can equally, listen carefully, they can equally be scriptures for physical healing. Because of the parable that he stands for. So we'll see all that as we proceed further. Now let's get back here. Let's get back here. So we said, take up serpents. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So in what authority do we have this one? In what authority do you have it? Now firstly, it's not, you don't have that authority because you don't like the devil. That's nothing. Not because you are compassionate. Nope. Not because you're a member of a church. No. Not because you are... What else? The reason why those things... Now, look at 20. They went forth everywhere and preached the word, and the Lord walking with the word. So are they my signs or his signs? They are his signs. They are the signs of the risen Christ. And so, which means that I qualify to see those signs because, one, I am in him by the virtue of identification. Lo, I'm with you, Matthew 28:20. I am in him, he is in me, by identification. Two, I am his disciple. In other words, I am learning to do the things he did. So therefore, I have an office, and that office includes the signs. That office has these signs. The office of one, the office of the believer. Amen. I said amen. The office of the believer. Praise God. So which means that my first thinking should be, I am a believer. I believe that Jesus Christ is alive. Hallelujah. And I'm not just mentally assenting to that. Like, I believe it. Yeah. It's true. Like I said earlier, you can intellectually, which is not wrong, explain the work of the devil, but your job is to push it back. Praise God. And you know, Jesus gave us a warning. He said, I'm setting you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, wolves is obvious. I wanted to ask a question, but I think it's a very wrong question. I maybe I've seen wolves before. That's not a good question, right? Because wolves are not in Nigeria as far as I know. Are they in your village, Jakes? You should, they can be in your village. You know, what they kill in your village is bush rat. Wolves, I think, are not here. Yeah. So wolves. I remember I watched the American Werewolf. American Werewolf in London. Film of the 80s or something. Werewolf. It just shows up at that. You know, and all that. So a wolf will be, is used for something that persecutes and injures and all that. But when it says serpents, so that means Satan has two ways. He can be ferocious, violent and brutal. That for me is easily discernible. For us who are enlightened in the world, we say that's the devil now. Ah, that's the devil. Say, let me use some Christocentric terms. It's not the character of God. Every time people see judgment, it's not the character of God. And then they call him the judge of the whole world. It's not the character of God. Anything they don't like is not the character of God. So it's always violent. They are the devil. But you see, the second one is subtle, which means that he will give us ideas in a subtle way. Ideas. When you say subtle as the devil there, or as a serpent, it doesn't come to you as forcefully violent. That's in Genesis 3. Just suggestions. And so, you know, by the things that I read and hear, I begin to have second opinions about what God says. I begin to think lightly of divine healing, for example. By the time I put on CNN, now I like CNN because of just one reason. Don't bother to know. But I noticed that you just see so much bad news. And you begin to think logically. Ah, it's true. Nothing wrong in, because faith doesn't deny the facts. I must know the facts. There was nobody who came to Jesus and said, don't talk about sickness. Let me just heal you. That's why we knew he was healed of. That means he knew the facts. Is that clear? Aha. But you don't know the facts to submit to the facts. You know the facts to deal with the facts. Who's following what I'm saying here? So, here we are. I said, subtly you're thinking, then you start to think naturally, no longer supernaturally. You start to think naturally, no longer supernaturally. That's what it meant by as wise as serpents. As wise as serpents. You know, there's a time like that. And I tell this to many of our folks then. I have friends who are medical doctors. This is not in the way to denigrate medical doctors. I do love them. They are here and I appreciate them. They help me. They are very useful. But whenever it comes to, in fact, I have a friend who I believe one of these years she's going to come and preach at one of our meetings. She's the only person I'm going to allow to preach at World Changers Conference. And then she has this bad attitude. And I'm saying it because she's my friend. She's not going to curse me. She dares not. She has this thing about the miraculous. It's not necessary. That she believes that God has given us all these things so that we don't have to stress ourselves in prayer. Very terrible. Because I can't say some reasons why that became a conclusion, but very well read with, I think, the second PhD or so now. Well read. A missionary that plants hundreds of churches. You know. So I've had, look, medical doctor friends who are lovely people, but every time, for example, I ask them, did you lay hands on the sick? Then they used to use one word. I didn't first of all understand it. They lay hands on the sick, they say, listen very well, look. They say, the condition is improving. I say, I didn't know that. I know healed by the power of God. Because they didn't say, the condition is improving. I can see signs of improvement. Because sometimes they think they are still in the consulting room. So they just doctors are not trained to believe in instant recoveries. Do you get it? It's called therapy. Yeah, instant recovery. So, so now they doubt. You know, so, are you sure? You know, they look at it and say, are you really sure? Remember I went for a test one time and the doctor said, we're trying to check whether there's a fault with the machine. I said, there's no fault. They said, no. 2001. And I said, no, no. They said, I went up. I was laughing. You know, somewhere in my mind, I had to tell her, I said, start going so that they won't bring the real result. start going, so that before they bring the reality to you. I said, no, I know the reality, praise the Lord. They must say, wow, this is strange. Maybe we missed the first. I said, you didn't miss it. I got healed. Amen. You know, so they are talking about recovery. So somewhere, if you feed your mind, you will think less supernaturally. Now, you mustn't only think supernaturally. Amen. And say, well, I want to brush my teeth supernaturally. We're going to have a supernatural spell. You know, but you need to put a priority on supernatural thinking because you have as wise as serpents. For you know your ideas. Your thinking. I was talking to Brother Tokes this afternoon. We had a very long conversation about, you know, divine healing and being strong about it. And then, you know, he said something that blessed me. He said, it's as always with it. And he's someone I've known for years who has worked in the healing ministry. Genuine one. I've known him for years. So it's a conversation that, you know, I understood what he was saying. He said, look, the moment you tell people, you know what, that there's, okay, let me say it the way he said it. That it's as though they say, if you take medicine, don't believe God. If you believe God, don't take medicine. What is wrong with people?
I said, I ask the same questions. That people always have one extreme. Let me use that phrase. That the moment you say, well, there's nothing wrong in taking drugs, it's not against the power of God, you have to go for drugs. The moment you say, I believe I'm healed by the power of God, it's not about medicine, it's about the power of God. Power of God. This is something, you know, I said, well, sometimes it's the kind of testimonies that we preachers give. So they want to be like us. Sometimes, you say, yeah, you're right. Praise God. But you know, if there's any time you ought to push back by the power of the Spirit, it is now. Hallelujah. You do hear me? It is now. Because Satan can drop thoughts in your mind. See, Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. Glory to God. You know, someone was talking with me a couple of days ago and said something to my ear. The way I screamed back. He said, I was just trying to suggest. I said, don't ever joke with me about sickness. I said, oh, but 30 years ago, I almost died. You don't joke with me about sickness. Don't try to. Say the next time you joke with me, I will never talk to you again. For the rest of your life on my own. And I wasn't joking. Praise the Lord. You there? So, these signs, which means that we are in the position to believe for signs of the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. For signs of the power of the Holy Spirit. So, we said it has to do with who we are. Amen. You get it? Who we are. Now, you know, prayer is important. We should pray. But we don't have signs because we pray. No. We pray to see the signs. Now, let's see the very first kind of such a miracle in scripture. Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. Now, the story is the Abimelech's family. They all fell sick. The whole household. They all fell sick. And verse 7. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife. For, pay attention, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, then thou shalt die, surely die, thou and all thy yours. Now, look at verse 17. Abraham prayed unto God, God healed Abimelech and his wife, and his maidservants, and they bore children. So, it was a sign of who Abraham was. God's spokesperson. God's spokesperson. Remember, he didn't say, Abraham, you'll be healed because Abraham prayed last night. No, Abraham will pray for you so that you'll be healed. Because he's a prophet. So, first thing is, because of who I am. Hallelujah. So which means that I must be conscious of who I am. One of the greatest things that happened to me as a Christian is knowing my identity in Christ. One of the most important things that happened to me. In fact, I can say the most important thing that happened to me was knowing my identity in Christ Jesus. It's something that, you know, and for the first few years, I fed on it so much that I went to the extreme about it. And I love extremes when I'm starting out. Such that it doesn't cross my mind. Some things don't cross my mind. So I would say, you know, maybe God, I don't get it in my mind. It doesn't occur because I've gone beyond that. If someone curses me right now, I just laugh. You know why? Because I just can't think about what you're saying. And I have been in meetings where people that are highly respected, spoke bad words, and I laughed. You know why? Not because I was arrogant, but because I had so fed on it. I needed to see it. And get to the point where you meditate on who you are, to the point that you will recognize it yourself.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm who God says I am. So I'm who God says I am. I'm what the Word says I am. I am who the Word says I am.
So this is a very powerful confession. I am who the Word says that I am. Abraham is a prophet. And Abraham, you know what? Abraham knew who he was and he acted on it. I dare say, I am God's son. I dare say, I've got his righteousness. I dare say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I dare say, I'm an heir of God. Hallelujah. Dare to say it. Dare to say it. Glory to God. I dare say, the confession of who you are in Christ is the greatest level of words that can come out of your mouth. Say who you are. Dare circumstances and situations and say who you are. Hallelujah. So he said, because of prophet. Now why is he a prophet? God called him in Genesis 12. He called him. So because of who I am. You know, Peter and John said in Acts 3, he said to the man, the Bible, he said, look on us. Some pride, right? Look unto Jesus. Well, lo, I'm with you. Amen. Then look on us. Silver and gold have I not. Such as I have, I give to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to learn to dare the devil. Someone told me on phone. She's in America. She said, have not slept for days. Pray for me. I said, I won't pray for you. Say, why? I don't waste time on things like that. She said, sir, it's very serious. They brought me to Nigeria. I said, I'm just going to tell you one thing. Say what? Go and sleep. Now, I wasn't joking with it. I was daring the devil. Go and sleep. Say you sleep. Because I'm supposed to use the very words of Jesus. Hallelujah. The very words of Jesus. The very words of Jesus. Glory to God. No plague shall come near my dwelling place. No plague shall come near my dwelling place. Hallelujah. Say it like you mean it. No plague shall come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now don't just say it in the service. The way you're on the road, is that WhatsApp message. Anyway, do you still get those messages? By now you should have weeded out some guys on you. Nobody sends me stupid things. Well, maybe because I don't have stupid people on my phone. Amen. You know there are stupid people? It's not abusive. That's why the word stupid exists. Because there are stupid people. Alright? We're not trying to be insulting, but those words are foolish. Amen. Someone was asking me, how can somebody be this old and be this stupid and act like this? I said, there are people in primary school that grew older. They just became adults. They never change. Praise the Lord. You there? I dare say I'm what he says I am. I dare say I'm who he says I am. I dare say I have what he says I have. So say, Abraham is a prophet, so Abraham knew. And Abraham knew and he acted on it. Look at Genesis 13. You know, Lot and Abraham, Lot was saying, you know, actually it's not my fault. It's my headsman. You know, that's a strange word today. I tell you that Jesus was an headsman. You don't like it. One of the names of Jesus is headsman. When you say shepherd, it's headsman. Hallelujah. So when you say pastor, let's go on. Where were we? Genesis 13. After Abraham had departed from Lord, God said to Abraham,
verse 14. Look up, it asks him to do. He says, on the land, arise and walk through the land, verse 17. I'm going to give you. This is in a vision. Every time Abraham faced a contrary situation, God reminded him of who he was. Genesis 14. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, verse 20. Genesis 15. The word of the Lord came to him, verse 4. And the Lord showed him in a vision what he planned for him. So Abraham, right, because of who he was, alright, he prayed for the sick, right? Because of who he was, he saw God's purpose and plan in a vision. Because of who he was, he spoke utterances that were inspired of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. That means consistently, you must speak of and affirm who you are. Now some guys are going scared of speaking God's word because we have this, they call it the Christian Science movement, who believe in speaking and speaking, say positive confession. So some Christians began to attack the word of faith message. That's just Christian Science. Why? Because there is positive confession. Mary Baker Eddy. That is just the E.W. Kenyon, they lied against him. You know, came out from the Christian Science movement. All a lie, really. Very interesting lies. But, I asked someone a question. I said, you mean our words don't matter? I said, no, it matters. We must not speak evil things. Very good. We mustn't speak strife and jealousy. Very good. That means we must speak scriptures. Oh yes. When we are preaching scriptures, are we speaking the word of God? Oh yes. So when I say, I am the righteousness of God, I told him, am I speaking scripture? He said yes. Very good. I am a son of God. Those say yeah. Okay, what if I say, God is my father, I am in his, on his heart, is this scripture? He said yes. What if I say, I'm indwelt by God, and I say, yes. What if I say, Satan cannot get me because I'm in Christ? No, that's the Bible. So what's the problem you have? You got different translations. But what I said, now I can say it in different ways. So you don't like the translations I give. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In other words, because of who you are. Because of who you are. You must always speak out your identity. Always. But that's, you know, going to come out later. So therefore, as we walk in God's purpose and plan, we must have the proper supernatural responses. I'm going to just highlight a few things and we explore two things and we proceed forward. In Matthew 10 verse 1, Jesus sends out the 12 and then he told them in verse 5, 6, through to verse 8, precisely verse 8, he said they should cast out devils, they should cleanse lepers and raise the dead, Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely have you received, he said, freely shall you give. In Luke 9, he gave them power, verse 2, over unclean spirits to cast out devils and to heal the sick. Same thing in Luke 10. In Mark 6, he sends them out. Mark 6, he sends them out after he was the son of his hometown. He now sent them out, verse 7, and gave them power over unclean spirits. So, one thing we have seen is that their identification and association with Jesus gave them access to God's power. Who I am matters a lot. Now pay attention, whose I am matters the most. Whose I am matters the most. So whose I am? I am in Christ. I am in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus has set me on an errand, on a mission. And therefore, that mission means I have signs of Jesus who doesn't send me, he goes with me to do what he has sent me to do. Sunajio. Therefore, I must be conscious. Consciousness is important. Some guys don't like that word because it looks like a psychological word. No, it's not. In James 1, James says, do not hear my beloved brethren, every good and perfect gift comes from above. James 1:16, my brethren, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Verse 17, down from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruit of his own creatures. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, so the wrath. For the wrath of man, verse 20, walketh not the righteousness of God. Then in 21, it says, laying aside all crudeness of nothingness, or simple weakness, the grafted word that saves the soul. Verse 22, it says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. It says, if any be hearer of the word, pay attention now, it says, it's likened to a man that beholds his natural face in the mirror, then he is not conscious of it. He forgets it. Now, it doesn't mean he doesn't know the scripture. He's just not conscious about it. And sometimes, John Wesley said, Satan has given to the church something that looks like faith, but it's not faith. He calls it mental assent. Mental assent says, I see it, it's true, but not in my case. Mental assent can celebrate miracles. I believe in miracles. Now it's time to act on the word. Then you hold back. That's mental assent. If I believe in miracles, then I act on the word. Then I receive miracles. So, pay attention here. He says, not being a forgetting the manner of man he was, James 1, which means he just doesn't think about it. He knows it, but doesn't think about it. Have you had your friend, you tell someone, say, well, you know, I want to set up a business. You tell your friend, say, well, and I intend to do this and this for me. I say, oh, that's good. No problem. And you help me do this and check on this stuff for me. Let me get this information. Oh, that's fine. Then you call 2 weeks after. I say, what about that stuff? What is it? I told you 2 weeks ago. That pop-up business, you said. Pop-up? The guy says, no. I said, pipes. Oh. That was pop-up. Oh. What did you say again? I remember you told me something like that. Huh? He heard you. At that very moment, he said, oh yeah. But, you come into his mind. And sometimes that's how we treat the word. Oh yeah, yeah, woo, wow. But that's where it ends. But it says, whoso looketh for the love of liberty, and continues to look, not being a forgetful hearer, hallelujah, say, I'm conscious of God's word. Let's be conscious of God's word. We have a whole lot of missiles to our hearts. We must immerse ourselves in God's word. Every man is a product of influences. If you discover that your responses to the supernatural, the power of the Holy Spirit, is weakened, you are being influenced. Every man is a product of influence. I choose to be influenced by God's word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, number one, I need to know who I am. Who I am and whose I am. I know we can always trace, for example, if you were a believer that walked in the power of God, and it's only you are no longer, you can trace where he started from. You can trace who he started from. Sometimes, a preacher once told me, he said he just discovered that he no longer contends for the supernatural. We sat in his house some almost 20 years ago. We sat in his house and he said, he just can't fathom what's going on. And I smiled. I said, who have you been listening to? Well, we mentioned the person. I said, well, this fellow, he doesn't speak against the supernatural. No. He doesn't say, there's no power of God. There's no, he doesn't say that. But neither does he speak for the supernatural. He talks about it as a secondary thing. But I was being careful because he respected the person a lot. I said, I hope you know that. He said, I noticed too. So you choose your choice. Decide what you want. You must choose not to be influenced by such thoughts. So you choose. I've always told you that. One of the ways to know a doctrine, a teaching, if it's of Christ or not, is what it says about the miraculous. We've seen Mark 16:20. Luke 24:49. You cannot talk about the gospel, the word of God, and speak down on the miraculous, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Hallelujah. So, let's see a few things quickly. So, it's because of who I am. Therefore, there are responses that are expected of me all the time. That when I discover that, oh, what's going on? I need to check my attitude. What's my attitude? What's my attitude to the power of the Holy Ghost? And you know, sometimes, because some people have become what I call frauds. The media wants you to feel that the frauds are the majority. It's not true. And then they drive to night that the frauds actually prove that there is nothing called the power of the Holy Ghost. And that would influence your attitude. I know a guy like that who, he laid hands on someone and everyone made fun of him because the guy never got healed. And that affected him so badly because, you know, he liked image. So he felt, I was so bold. I really wanted God to do it, but nothing happened. He knew nothing happened. So he really was feeling bad. He was feeling bad. People took pictures. And it became worse. He really felt bad. And I said to him, I said, well, your attitude matters now. I said, I've had the same experience before. Your own was one. My own was everyone in the meeting. I said, but if you allow the devil to begin to teleguide your mind, you won't like what you become. So what do I do, sir? Go and lay hands on somebody else. Hallelujah. Go and lay hands on someone else. After all, when you fail the course, you did a carryover. They say, I'm not doing it again. If you cannot pass the first time, I'm leaving this school. You want to write it again? Go do it again. Say, is that simple? He says something that I did not do that, you don't do. I said, no, just go and pray for the sick again. Correct your attitude. To check your attitude. Because I know who I am. Hallelujah. I've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've got the Holy Ghost. You know you have the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost. You are in Christ Jesus. I know who I am. I know whose I am. Hallelujah. I know whose I am. So let's say the first place, and we'll build on it for next week. What's the first thing we see? The first visible thing is how we speak. This sign shall follow them that believe. said they'll cast out demons. Said they will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. They will speak with new tongues. I speak with new tongues. Glory to God. I learned to talk in tongues. I learned to talk in tongues a lot. I learned to speak in tongues a lot. You should get to a point that if Jesus said this is the sign, that means I should not be able to tell how many hours I speak in tongues a day. And the Greek of that was speak, I told you before, is regular speaking. Which means that the way I talk, you know, if they ask you today, how many hours did you talk? You say, are you well? Am I not a human being? You're asking me how many hours you, if you say how many hours did I sleep, that makes sense. Some people cannot even calculate that one too, but it's fine. I talk to people, I'm talking to you. Is that why you speak in tongues? Tongues. In the morning, after I did, I praise worship. Then when the spirit took me, I just said, I must have done it for 5 minutes. Hallelujah. You should not be able to count it. Now, don't get that wrong, go. Oh, they told us not to count it now. So 1 minute is, I should count 1 minute. Hallelujah. Speak with tongues the Lord. Amen. You know it's a visible sign. Speak with tongues the Lord. Speak with tongues the Lord. And you know, we'll see this next week. On the day of Pentecost, it was the first thing Luke let us see that people heard. In Acts 10, 44 and 45. They heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. I speak with tongues. You know, but you can get so, you know, you get so educated. Many of us have gotten so educated. We think the Bible is illiterate. We are educated. So educated. Then you look prim and proper. You know, you not have executive tongues. 2 minutes. Hallelujah, Father, I thank you, I give you praise. Education, because somewhere your mind is fooling you that, are you sure you're fine? The reason is that you're exposed to a lot of other information. And you have people say that, he's not even speaking in tongues. People have said things like that. Look at the person that is talking. Does he have the signs that we're talking about? He doesn't. So he's not even speaking in tongues. People say it on the pulpit, he's not even speaking in tongues. It's about nation building. Yeah, yeah. Nation are you building? They tell you, look at countries like, did they tell you that speaking in tongues is for nation building? It's about intelligence. What intelligence? Let me take you to the university and go and see people that are intelligent. You are charassing us. Here, you say intelligence. What intelligence are you saying? Let me be your professor. Let's see your intelligence. I'm talking about the power of God. You are saying, sit down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So don't get that very educated that you begin to see the power of the Holy Ghost as for illiterates or someone that is not as intelligent as you are. It's all in my notes, but our time is gone. Paul says, I thank my God. How can Paul say, I thank my God? I speak with tongues more than you all. And Paul was not there when Jesus gave that instruction. He wasn't there. So, if you say, it's for the people Jesus was talking to, Paul wasn't there. So I say, well, is that initial sign where you won't get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues? No. It couldn't have been. If healing the sick is not once and for all, casting out devils not once and for all, taking up something is not once and for all, of course praying for the sick is not once and for all, speaking with tongues is not once and for all. And speaking with tongues is the one that becomes a practice. You shall speak. I told you the Greek word there is regular speaking. Hallelujah. Regular.
Which means that as I'm talking English, as I'm speaking in English and conversing, I can switch. I can go back. I can switch. I can go back. I can switch. I can go back. Why? Because I know who I am. Hallelujah. I know who I am. I'm none of this world. So I know who I am. I know who I am. Hallelujah. See that? I'm not trying to conform to this world. No, I'm not of this world. So I know that these are the signs. Hallelujah. Paul said, I thank my God, as people told me more than you all. Not in prayer meetings. If the most tongues you speak is in prayer meetings, there's something wrong. Prayer meetings, you say, wow. So I say, WCC, the whole day we are speaking in tongues. So you mean, outside that day, you have not had the whole day and the day after, in between all your activities, you are speaking in other tongues, then there's a problem. No wonder your responses to the works of the devil are very weakened. You have been submerged into thinking like a natural man. Hallelujah. Say, I'm supernatural. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Speak with tongues and lots. A whole lot. When the word of God is being taught in the services, speak with tongues under your breath. Speak with tongues. All day. All day. Don't get to the point where it's not what it is anymore to you. The world doesn't change our mindset. Paul says, he that speaks with tongues speaks not to men but to God. Howbeit we're in the spirit. Glory to God. In the spirit, he said, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. He says, he that speaks with tongues edifies himself. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. Imagine, Paul says, if you're speaking with tongues, you don't have interpretation. He says, don't stop. Can you imagine? He says, don't stop. Speak to yourself unto God. Don't stop. So that means there is no reason to stop speaking in other tongues. Why do I speak with tongues? Because I know who I am. Hallelujah. I know whose I am. I know who I am. I know whose I am. So the moment I read something on television or in the newspapers or hear something, I can just speak with other tongues. I'll speak with other tongues. I'll speak with other tongues. I'll speak with other tongues. What am I doing? Paul already told me. He says, my mind becomes unfruitful. So which means I can quieten that thing on my mind. Speak with other tongues. Power of the Holy Ghost working. I speak with other tongues. I continue. Don't be the kind of person who preaches to people, God will fill with the Holy Ghost. And you like to get me filled with the Holy Ghost. But you are not filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean by that? Glory to God. We have supernatural indicators. And tongues is one of them. Utterances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't know so much about tongues and not speak with tongues. Don't know how to get people filled with the Holy Ghost and you don't speak with tongues often. Don't know so much about tongues that all the tongues you enjoy is when you are meeting with believers. No. Paul says, when I am not amidst Christians, 1 Corinthians 14:18, I speak with tongues more than you all. Hallelujah. In these days we're in, we learn to have that supernatural pushback. The signs of Jesus Christ that pushes back the works of the devil are close from here. The signs of his power. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. I believe. I am a believer. Glory to God, I know who I am. So when I say I know who I am, I speak with tongues. I know whose I am. I speak with tongues. Hallelujah. I speak with tongues. I speak with tongues. I speak with tongues. So much. Hallelujah. So I want me to doubt on the phone. I drop the phone. I speak with tongues. We're sharing that next week more. I speak with tongues. I'm pushing back. I speak with tongues. Because that is the supernatural communication. I speak with tongues. Hallelujah. I don't want to walk in strife. Rather than respond and say something crazy about someone, I just change what I'm saying. I speak with tongues. You notice that when you are done, you say the right thing. Hallelujah. Who's following what I'm saying here? When you are done, you say the right thing. Glory to God. I know who I am. I know whose I am. Hallelujah. So what we're having Jesus in your office and they are saying, do you know, I saw that blog and that guy got pregnant for that guy. No, it's not that guy. No, I'm speaking in other tongues. Sir, how far now? Don't you have anything to say? Say, Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because I'm supernatural. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And there's no fear here. There's no panic here. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. We'll continue next week. Let's stand. Stand to our feet. Pray in other tongues. Amen.